Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. So I've been going through the gifts of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Gifts was this morning in Sunday school. We've been going through the fruit of the Spirit and a series I've been calling The Fruitful Life. And so last week, we saw that God is good. We looked at His goodness and saw that goodness is from God. What He creates, what He speaks, what He does, it's all good. Yet we live in a world that where sin has twisted many, many things. It's even twisted us. You see, when we were created in God's image, humanity was pronounced to be very good. But because of sin, we were moved from that very good point to what we saw in Psalm 14 that said, no one is good. No one does good, not even one. And so we must therefore look to God for goodness and to see Him as the standard for goodness. With Him in us and working through us, we will see the fruit of goodness, but not because of anything that we are doing, but because of what the Lord is doing in us and through us. We can produce the fruit of goodness because it comes from the Lord. Today we'll be looking at our next fruit, and let's read Galatians 5:22 through 23 and take a look at our next fruit. And hopefully by so many Sundays of going through this same verse over and over, I think maybe many of us should have it memorized. Maybe it'd be something good to do. So Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Today we're looking at faithfulness. So what is faith? I think for many of us, if we've been in the Bible and in the Word for a while, when we ask that question, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 would probably be a verse that comes to mind. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, just to kind of just put into some different words, faith is to trust. It means to trust. Faith also means to depend upon. We trust in and depend on Jesus, right? Yes, even when we must trust and depend on Jesus in times where we cannot clearly see. If our trust and dependence are on Christ, then that will dictate our choices. It will impact our actions. It'll impact how we live. But faith has a second aspect. Something that we might not see in that Hebrews 11:1, but we see in Scripture. And we know that to have faith is to trust and depend on, like I already said. But the second aspect has to do with that trust and dependence over a long period of time. It is to be steadfast and enduring in that trust and dependence. Many times in Scripture, we'll see that we're called to remain faithful, to remain faithful. And that carries that endurance and that steadfastness in that. That enduring dependence and trust would be more of a character trait. It's something deeply ingrained in us. It's a part of us. We trust and depend on Jesus, but we're doing this over a period of time, and it becomes a part of who we are. We're not easily moved. We're not easily swayed by things around us. It has a lasting impact on our life. And it also impacts those that are around us too. A steadfast faith is going to impact someone that knows us well. They're going to see that deep faithfulness. So when we look at faithfulness, I could go through many aspects of faith. Just searching the word faith in Scripture, and I'm getting, you know, all sorts of things. You know, we could look at the faith of a mustard seed. We could look at what was talked about in Sunday, the adult Sunday school this morning, the gift of faithfulness. There could be many examples. I could even go through Hebrews 11 and look at all the heroes of the faith in that chapter. But just to kind of reel back just a little bit, we're looking at the fruit of faithfulness. So I think it's important to first truly look at the author and the perfecter of faith, and that's God. It's looking at the character trait of God. If the fruit is something that we show that others can see, then we should probably know what that fruit looks like. And the best way we can see that is in God. We see that God is faithful, to see the trait, the character trait of Him. Although we'll get to talk about our faithfulness and the fruit of faithfulness, I wanted to take a little bit of time to just look at the faithfulness of God. So if you turn with me to Deuteronomy 32, 3 through 4. Deuteronomy 32, 3 through 4. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. See, God is worthy of praise. He is the rock. He doesn't move or change. He is the one that we cling to. What He does is perfect, and His ways are just. Faithful is a way that God is described. You can depend on and trust Him. As He does no wrong, He's upright and just. Psalm 25:10, there's another verse on this. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of His covenant. He is loving and faithful to those who follow Him, to those who call Him their God. Another psalm is Psalm 36:5. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, Your faithfulness to the skies. Faithfulness that is really immeasurable. It's unending. His faithfulness reaches to the skies. There's no end to His faithfulness. Psalm 33, 4 through 5. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love. There's another passage that I forgot to put in my PowerPoint, but I ended up putting it in the bulletin. Lamentations 3:23 through 24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. Great is His faithfulness. See, some of these passages are just samples of what could be read this morning when looking at God's faithfulness. Sayings like these would have been stated out loud, whether in big groups or they would have been recited or stated by individuals. They would have been sung in songs. They would have been a part of services. These would be passed down and taught to the next generations. Great is God's faithfulness. But let's ask the question that many wrestle with. How did the authors, those that wrote these, how did they know that God was and is faithful? How did they know? To the Israelites, God had showed Himself faithful. For us, we might experience His faithfulness, and if we're still questioning His faithfulness, we have God's Word. Looking throughout the Bible, the Bible is filled with God's faithfulness. Though God ushers in consequences for when the people disobeyed and ran away and rebelled, we see that God is faithful in spite of a people who rebelled and turned away from Him. God remained faithful. You cannot read the Old Testament and come away without seeing not only God's faithfulness, but His enduring love. The Bible helps us to see God's faithfulness. How many of God's promises did He never keep? None. The promises He made, He kept. It's humanity that can't keep their promises. It's humanity that turns away. Because humanity is corrupted with sin. We looked at that last week. One of the biggest examples of God's faithfulness, and I can't just say it's one example, because what I'm going to share with you is multiple examples put together. But this example that I'm going to share with you revolves around, you know, Abraham and some of the promises, the promise of the promised land, and even freedom from Egyptian bondage. So I'm going to be reading a little bit out of Genesis, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." See, there's several promises here, and just pointing out, you know, kind of the main two here. I'll make you into a great nation, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. See, these are huge promises. God is making these promises to Abraham. He's called Abram here. Before his name, God changed his name. But let's look at a few verses further down in verses 6 through 7. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring, I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. I will give you this land. This is another promise. And Abraham, he's hearing from the Lord this promise that this land you're on, I'm going to give to your next generations, give to your offspring. Later on, we see God speaking to Abraham again, chapter 15, verses 13 through 14. Then the Lord said to him, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." Now we know that God will make Abraham's descendants into a great nation. We know that God will bless all people on earth through Abraham's line. And we know that God promised beautiful land to Abraham's descendants. But there will also be difficulty and trial with 400 years of bondage and slavery. See, God indeed makes Abraham into a great nation through his one child between him and Sarah. And that child is Isaac. Now Abraham had another child, Ishmael, through Sarah's servant Hagar, and that Ishmael also becomes a big nation, but not a blessed nation. Now getting back to God's faithfulness, is Abraham perfect? No, he's not perfect. He made many mistakes, especially when it came to trusting God in some things. You know, we remember the time where Abraham brought Isaac to sacrifice him. We all remember that one as being, Abraham was pretty faithful there. But what about the other times when he had his wife Sarah lie, saying that she was Abraham's sister instead of his wife? Now, that was a half-truth, which is kind of gross. But the reality was, she was his wife. He didn't trust God enough on that part. He kind of, another time where he didn't trust God all the way, it had to do with his having a son with Sarah. So he made his own, they made their own plans by having a son through Hagar. Again, Abraham was not perfect. He sinned against God. Did God withdraw his promises? No. He didn't. Abraham had Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now God's blessing, the promises that were given to Abraham, they followed Jacob, who would later be called Israel. Israel's family would ultimately be the ones to end up in slavery in Egypt. Now they were first saved by going to Egypt because of a famine and through what God did in Israel's youngest son, Joseph, who was sold to slave traders by his brothers. Yet even though Israel's family were initially saved by moving to Egypt, they ended up becoming slaves and treated harshly. God heard their predicament. He heard their cries, and he sent Moses, and God saved the Israelites and brought them out of Egypt through Moses. But as soon as they get out of Egypt, they grumble. The people didn't trust God, even after seeing miracle upon miracle upon miracle. God brought the people to the promised land, but because of their disbelief, they were forced to wander 40 years before finally entering the promised land. Many hundreds of years have passed. Many groups of people failed in their faithfulness to God. Yet God fulfilled His promises. He fulfilled all of them. So we see God being faithful throughout all of these years. Faithful to Abraham. But Abraham, he didn't get to see all these fulfilled. God kept His word. There's one promise that I pointed out earlier that we have not covered yet. Abraham's lineage would finally lead to Jesus Christ, who would fulfill the promise of being a blessing to all people. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, came to be a blessing to all people when they put their faith in Him. The interesting thing is that so many people heard those promises but were unable to see them fulfilled. Like I said, Abraham didn't get to see his descendants become a great nation as numerous as the stars in heaven. He never got to see them rescued from bondage and settle into the promised land. And Abraham didn't get to see the true blessing of Jesus coming into the world. But by faith, when he was alive, by faith, he and many others trusted God because they knew He was faithful. They trusted. It was by faith. They knew that God would keep His word, even if they didn't get to see it. You see, we see faithfulness in God's character. And therefore, faithfulness needs to be in ours. The faithfulness we see in God is the same type of fruit that we are to see in our life. We may not see things take place. We may not see miracles. We may not get the answers that we hope for when in a prayer. We might feel like God is distant, but that should not change our faithfulness to God. God has proven faithful for thousands of years. We know that, and we in turn respond with faith as well. God's word says in Psalm 139, starting with verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." God created me. God created you. He knew you. He knows me. He knows my inmost being, and He knows your inmost being. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." God has a plan for me, and He has a plan for you. He has a plan for our future. You know, that great future may not be fully seen in the here and now. It might be more fully seen in heaven. But either way, we have an awesome future to look forward to in the Lord. Let's look at another promise for us. John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." See, God sent Jesus to bring salvation. Condemnation was already here because of sin. God sent His Son Jesus to save us. Romans 8:1-2. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." We are no longer condemned when we are in Christ Jesus. Because of Christ, we live by the Spirit and we're free from sin and death. Now we'll still physically die, unless Christ returns now. But our physical death is not the same as those who are not in Christ. Revelation tells us of a second death for those who are not in Christ, and they'll be thrown into the lake of fire for an eternity. See, what I've just shared with you is a number of promises that God has given each of us. Well, the first one is that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. That's not so much a promise, but that's helping us to understand that we're all important to the Lord, and He knows us. He knows our inmost being. But He promises a hope and a future. He loves us so much that He sent His Son Jesus to save us. We're looking at many of these promises and things, and it leads us to a conclusion. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not for yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that anyone can boast." See, it is by faith that we're saved through Jesus Christ, who gives us the gift of life that we don't deserve. Faith alone, trusting and depending on Jesus Christ. We know we're important to Him. He sent His Son for us. He's got plans for our lives. All we need to do is trust Him and depend on Him. You see, there are times, even this morning, just in the adult Sunday school, there's going to be times that we might see the miraculous take place. We might see people healed. We might get the answers to prayers that we pray to the Lord. We might see healings. We might see mountains moved in tremendous ways. We might see God move in a mighty way, and we might feel close to Him. But there might be other times where we might feel like our prayers are not going anywhere. There might be times where we don't get the miracle that we desperately prayed for. We might not see the mountain move the way we wanted it to move. Even in those times, the promise that God has given us doesn't change, and we remain faithful, trust, and depending on the Lord. See, it's in those hard times that faith is still vitally important. 2 Corinthians 5:4-9. For while we are in this tent, talking about our body as a tent, for while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Faith is living with confidence and trust in God, no matter what the circumstance in life is. To walk by faith and not by sight. It would be easy to live by sight if every prayer was answered in the way we wanted them to, in the time we wanted them. But we see over and over again in Scripture and even in experience in our lives that things don't happen the way we want. Things happen in God's perfect timing and done for His perfect reasons. We simply have to trust no matter what happens. God is in control. And we hold on to the promises that we know that God loves us. We hold on to the promise that He has a purpose and a future for us. We hold on to the promise that Jesus was sent to redeem me. He was sent to redeem you. And it moves us to serve Him. To serve the Lord, we must walk in His ways, the ways that are pleasing to Him. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Faith is an integral part of living for the Lord. The fruit that we see from the Holy Spirit who is in us, He gives us not only an extra measure of that trust and reliance on God in every circumstance, but the Holy Spirit is giving us the endurance factor too. When we rely on the Lord, we receive His Holy Spirit who helps us in those times where trust and dependence seem hard, seem difficult. The Holy Spirit who's giving us a measure of the faithfulness from God, we see that we have a faith through Him that endures because it's a faith coming from God. Over the years, if you have been a follower of Christ for any length of time, you will come to know some people who held a deep faith that even at the end of their life, they trusted God and looked forward to being with Him. I don't always like to just list names, but I'm going to tell you three names popped into my head as soon as I made that statement. Three people that I know that they remained deeply faithful. Mick Keepers, Edna Nelson, and Roy Tinsman. I could have kept on listing others, but these were people who showed such a strong faith that we know such faith was a result of the Lord's work in their lives and the Holy Spirit that was dwelling within them. We see that trust and dependence on God. And it's a spiritual fruit of faithfulness. You can see what God has done in their life and having that kind of faith. I'm kind of at the point where I hope that if I'm going through those similar circumstances, that I would hold on to faith like they did. So spiritual fruit is something that we can see. It's tangible. Because some people could go through a similar circumstance and say, I blame God. Doing the opposite. It's God will make it. God will get us through. God will get me through, and I trust and depend on Him. We can see spiritual fruit. And I hope that many of us will pray, Jesus, keep transforming me that my faithfulness will resemble yours, Lord. As we've looked through the Old Testament, and God is the same yesterday and today. His faithfulness is enduring and is perfect, and we should be grasping to have that same faithfulness. We have to be careful, though. There are things that can taint our fruit. Fear. Fear is one of those things. If we continue to let it into our life and feed that fear, fear is it can push us away from trusting God. I trust the Lord. I depend on Him. Another thing that can taint our fruit is I can do it myself. I don't need help from anyone. That's not depending on the Lord. Or maybe it's relying on other things or other people instead of God. Others will let us down. Things will let us down. God never will. These and other things can take our good fruit and turn them sour if we're not watching out for them. We need to watch out for these fruit destroyers. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and depend on Him with your whole being. We'll make mistakes. But in those times, we know that God is faithful and that we are to remain faithful to Him, to carry on and to show that character and fruit of faithfulness. Let our fruit of faithfulness be an encouragement to others. And let us all look forward to the day where Jesus says 6 wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant.